an alcoholic. My name's DeMond Burwell.
Hi.
Welcome to the newcomers. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, whether you introduce yourself or not. And congratulations to Debbie on her 2 years. It's good to see you here. And John on his 10 years. That's awesome. Thank you, Larry, for asking me to participate in my sobriety. I did not, for those of you that know me and know my ego, I did not ask to be the 10-minute speaker here this evening, even though you probably don't believe me. Okay, now it's official. And briefly, you know, I guess I'm going to tell you what happened to me, what I was like, you know, what I'm like today. I start my talk out. There's nothing that happened in my life that made me an alcoholic. Meaning, you know, that didn't make me an alcoholic. I'm a black kid from an upper middle class suburban environment in upstate New York. I was, you know, one of the only black kids in my neighborhood. I grew up playing ice hockey. My parents divorced when I was 9. I was molested by my grandfather from 5 to 7, and none of those things make me an alcoholic. What those were situations and circumstances that existed in my life that perpetuated this delusion that I had, that I was somehow so different and so unique that none of you guys understood who I was, where I come from. You all hated me, and I was scared of you. And what happened for me is that after a while, I discovered alcohol. My first drink I had, I think I was 5 or 6 years old. I didn't get drunk. I remember it specifically. It was Cello Lambrusco Asti Spumanti. Now, there's a lot of young people in this room, and you're looking at me like, what the hell is that? I am 40 years old. I'm a product of the 70s and 80s, and it's a sweet red wine that was very, very popular. And my parents used to have, you know, parties. My grandparents used to have dinner parties and have dignitaries over at the house and whatnot. And I was that little kid that would sneak off and, like, have a sip here and there, you know what I mean? And you know, for me, what the book talks about, the conviviality and companionship that came with alcohol, that's what I thought alcohol was. I thought I grew up with this idea that as a man, what you're supposed to do is you grow up, you go to school, you get a degree, you get a career, you get married, you have a family, and you reward yourself with that with drinking, you know, that you have people over at your house and you entertain. And that's what I saw growing up, you know, and I saw my grandfather, who I mentioned, you know, molested me, and he was an alcoholic, and I guess he was an alcoholic of the functioning variety. This was a very successful, very prominent man in New York State politics, knew a lot of very influential people throughout history, and as much as I despised him, I wanted to be just like him. So as a kid growing up with that kind of dichotomy, you know, I was screwed. You know, I didn't know whether I was coming or going. Everything I did was in hopes that you would somehow accept me. And I grew up with that deal. Like I said, I played ice hockey. I was a good hockey player. My career ended early with a bum knee. I was a blue chip prospect. I played juniors. I watched the Rangers today. Joe's laughing at me because he's an Irish Catholic from Boston. I'm a black kid, a black Baptist kid from New York, and you know we're big rivals. And this is the second time that I've been the 10-minute when he's been the main. So we're gonna have fun this evening. But I digress. So you know, suffice it to say, you know, I drank the required amount to get here. By the time I was 15, I was a blackout drinker. By May 5th, 1994, I had entered the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time. When I got here, I thought I just had a cocaine problem. You know, I was doing a lot of that, so I could drink more. I didn't realize I did that to control my drinking. I didn't realize any of that stuff until I got here. What I did know is that I didn't think that I belonged here and I was different. And I was living here in California. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be around you people, but, you know, my parents threatened to cut me off. And this is what I had to do. I was a scared 22-year-old kid and a wife that hated me. And that was enough to keep me in California. The problem was is that I had what the book talked about, is I had lurking notions. I had these reservations, these ideas that somehow, some way, not really that I was going to control and enjoy my drinking, but I was going to control and enjoy my life. And that was my goal, is that if I get the right combination of stuff, then I will be okay. And I held on to that delusion for quite some time. And I remember I was around seven and a half years of sobriety. I had a house in Del Cerro, a very good career in investment banking, and I was in more spiritual pain than I had ever been in my life. And I was convinced you people were the problem, because all I heard about you guys was complaining, and I thought you guys were jealous of me and my successes, and I needed to leave you people alone. And I was just going to do church and work, and everything would be okay. Because I had gotten the material stuff. I had gotten the social acceptability, and I thought that equated to recovery. Because when I first got here, I heard you people that had some time talk about your cars and your houses and your relationships, and you owed it all to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I thought if I got that stuff, then somehow I had arrived. The problem was that 3 or 4 years sober, when you guys were saying that stuff, I didn't have that crap, and I thought that I was doing this deal wrong. And I had resentments. I don't know if anybody here identifies with that. That's just my story. And so what happened was, at 10 and a half years of dry time, sprinkled in with periods of sobriety, I chose to drink. I convinced myself that I was normal enough. I had, like I said, I had a healthy career, my kid back in my life. I had civic responsibilities. I was on the board of directors of an adolescent treatment facility. My life was swinging, you know. And I was drinking. And drinking was that magic elixir that made everything okay. And I can't tell you that everything went from sugar to shit in 2 days, because it didn't. It took me 2.5 years for it to start to get really, really bad. And then the last 6 months, I came back crawling back on my hands and knees to this program. And I knew pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization like I had never known before. I met the hideous four horsemen that the book talks about very, very well. And I came crawling back here. I was upset. Many of you that know me knew me when I came back. I had a big chip on my shoulder. I was pissed I had to be here, but I knew I couldn't live life on my own. And what happened is that at that point, on October 11, 2007, is I joined the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, finally. You know, that all that experience that I had was well and good, the people I sponsored, all the stuff that I had done, but I had never joined the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. See, I never told you guys everything that I held on to, all those fears, all the things, the deep, dark secrets that I had. I was going to tell you most stuff, but not everything, because where I grew up and the time I grew up, you just didn't talk about certain things. And the fact is that I was an animal out there at some point in my life, and I did things to people that there is no statute of limitations for. That's not anything that I'm proud of. That's just my story. But what happened is I was in enough pain, and I was given this gift of desperation, and I finally started sharing all that. Because it became more important to save my ass than it did my face. And that's what happened when I joined this program. And what's happened over the past 4.5 years, whatever it's been, is that it's been a journey. You know, it's been a lot of pain, there's been a lot of ups, there's been a lot of downs, but the greatest gift that I've been given is the ability to feel. Is the ability to actually feel my emotions, feel my vulnerability, feel the pain, feel the frustration, the insecurity, all of those negative things and all the positive things, and not have to drink as a result of it. Moreover, is that today I don't act like a jerk off. Is that I don't intentionally go out to hurt other people, because drinking is not drinking is just enough. See, I was one of those people. I'm not drinking. I can do whatever I want. And the problem is that I caused a lot of wreckage. When I came back and I took the steps, I realized that I had committed more wreckage in sobriety than I ever did when I was out there. You know, and I had to make amends for that stuff. And today I'm still making amends. You know, I don't practice this program perfectly, but as I said, what I was given here is a true gift. That today, I don't know. I walk through this deal with as much as grace and dignity as I possibly can. I reach my hand out to the new person when I can. I try to be of service. Like I said, you know, today what this program has given me is some tools and a set of principles that allow me to make sense of what's going on in life. Today I can look at you people in the eye and feel a part of, and that's a great gift and a great blessing that I've been given here. If you're new and you don't know if this thing is for you, welcome. If you're new and you think I'm full of shit, welcome. If you're new and you think you're the only person that's going through this stuff, welcome. What I wish for you this evening is the gift of desperation. I wish for you it is so bad and so horrible that you have to accept our solution. Thank you very much for your time.